we turn to chapter 17. And David's public life stretches right here from chapter 17 of 1 Samuel all the way through to 2 Samuel 24, where he dies. And in this chapter, I believe we find what is the most vital characteristic of his life, and something that if you were to ever emulate a man's personality, this would be something I think that all of us would do well to emulate. You say, oh, really? Well, yes. Because David did something here that most people don't even catch, because the only thing they think 1 Samuel 17 is about is what? What's it about? What's this whole chapter about? Right, all the kids know that. David and Goliath. And sometimes everything gets obscured because we're looking at Goliath and we're looking at the stones and the sling and everything else. And in the midst of all that, we don't see what was really happening that day. David is recorded in Scripture as being the only person in all of Israel on that day that saw what was really going on. The only one. The only one that realized what was really the problem. It wasn't the Philistines. It wasn't the giants. It wasn't the fear of Israel's army. It wasn't the incompetence of the soldiers. And it wasn't the jealousy of his brothers. It wasn't any of those things. And it wasn't little stones and slings and brooks in the Valley of Elah. That's not what the story is about. And if we'll just look at it from a divine perspective, we can distill out David's purpose in life. Let's look, first of all, at the divine perspective, verses 25 and 26, and then we'll zip through the story. Because side by side, in verse 25 and verse 26, and I love to preach this chapter standing down in that valley. If you can just imagine it, the Valley of Elah is a broad plain and then a steep hill going up on both sides. It's about a quarter mile wide at the bottom, and then it stretches up on both sides, and down the middle runs a creek. And that's southern for a very small little stream going right down the middle. And up one side, just like sheep grazing, were the armies of the Philistines, massive. And up the other side, like cowering, fearful little ants, was the Israelite army. And in the middle was kind of like the battlefield. And everyone was kind of focusing on the event that took place there. And as you know, for 40 days, it says in verse 16, morning and evening, the Philistine, Goliath, would come forward and take his stand. And so everybody had been thinking about this for 40 days, and it had gone on and on and on. And we come to verse 25, and we see side by side, in contrast, how the spiritual and the unspiritual look at this event. It says in verse 25, and the men of Israel said, and David, remember, came and got involved at his father's request in this whole scene. And David comes trotting up all full of enthusiasm and all full of anticipation. And he runs up, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. That's a human perspective. They said, look at that guy. Of course, they kept a comfortable quarter mile distance from him. They said, look at that guy. He's defying us. And then listen to their human motivation. It says, and it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house tax-free in Israel. I'm sure that was the plum of the whole thing. No taxes. That's the human perspective. In fact, it'd be very easy just to have that be the story. The bully and the little fella, and the little fella kills the bully and he wins. But David, verse 26, gets to the heart of the matter. And if you've never seen this before, I hope it embeds itself in your heart. Because there's the human wisdom. He's defying Israel. And here's the divine perspective, verse 26. And David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Now listen, one guy in the whole place saw what was really going on. For who is this uncircumcised, that means not a partaker in the covenant, Philistine, that he should taunt not Israel? He looked way beyond, and he saw it from divine perspective, that he should taunt the armies of the living God. Oh, did you catch that? Here they are cowering. Here they are standing there on their hillside looking down at this 10-foot-high monster. They're saying, he's defying Israel. And David, little David, little boy David, teenager, comes down and says, what's going to be done about this guy who is defying God? And in the whole nation Israel, one person was offended, not for themselves, but for God. And if we were to distill David's entire purpose and motivation for life, it shows up here. It's going to show up over and over again. David was utterly concerned with God's honor, not his own. There's a little phrase in the Bible, if you're reading through maybe this year, if you'd like to find something, it's one I chase all over the Old Testament. It's a little phrase that all the world may know that there's a God in Israel. And it shows up here, and it shows up in Daniel, and it shows up in various places all through Israel's history, because God is looking to and fro, as the chronicler records for us, all through the earth, looking for one that he can show himself strong through, because God is looking for people that are more concerned about his honor than their own, that are more concerned about his name than theirs, that are more concerned about magnifying God in a world where he is belittled. If God wasn't belittled in this situation, he'll never be belittled. These people, representatives of the covenant, representatives of the redeemed, representatives of God's very name, were cowering in front of an uncircumcised, pagan, idol-worshipping nobody. And they represented God. And they were more concerned about how much you were going to get if you killed that guy. And they were all calculating how many spears and how many whatevers they'd need, and how many chariots to run the guy over and perhaps get between his big armor, and how much they would gain in tax-free status. And they missed the whole idea that God was being derided. Well, let's look now at David's purpose in verse 46, because it's restated. Because in the height of this entire setup, I'll start in verse 45, David's invincible motivation shows up. And I'll tell you a little secret. If you want to know a little secret of life, if you're concerned for God's honor, there's hardly anything you won't be able to accomplish in this world, because there are so few that are really concerned about his honor. There are so few that in every given situation they say, what would God do in this situation? What would magnify his name in this situation? Not what would keep me or keep my, but what would keep him? Verse 45, and David said to the Philistine, and this is the confrontation, and what a thrill to stand in that very spot and to read these words. And David said to the Philistine, this little short kid looking up 10 feet, it's like looking up at the backboard, and you're just a little tyke, and you can't even get the ball off the ground. Here's little David looking up 10 feet in the air at the hoop and the huge Philistine that filled that space. And he said, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. And this guy had gigantic, you can read about it, it's huge. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. He said, I don't care if you've taunted the Israelites. They're forgetting who they belong to and where they're standing. He said, if nobody else is concerned about God's name, I'll be. Why do you think God so vindicated that boy that day? There's nobody else in the earth, in the whole world, that understood what was going on in the Valley of Elah, except one little shepherd boy that came in at the last moment. In verse 46, he said this, this day, the Lord will deliver you up in my hands, and I will strike you down, I'll remove your head from you, and I will give your dead body, or the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day, to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth. Uh-oh, here's that little phrase I told you about. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Wow. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. He really had command of the situation. And that little shepherd boy strode down that valley. He looked up into that giant's face, fearless. And the guy had on bulletproof armor. I mean, he was almost like a tank standing there. And he had his Weaver's beam, and he had a head on that thing that weighed about 16 pounds on the top of that spear. And David looks up at him, and he said, I want the whole world to know that Israel has a living and true God. And God can't resist situations like that. And you all know the story.